Welcome back to another episode of the Dude from LA podcast. And you guys are in the new studio, ooh, garage, slash my old room when I broke up with my ex-chick, and now I'm sleeping in the garage kind of deal. But you got to make some life choices, and you got to figure out what's important to you, you know? And
yeah,
sleeping on the ground right here during winter was way more important to me than shit relationships. What's up,
man? So we're the first?
Yeah, you guys are, my buddy Jeebus came by, but I mean, he practically lives here, you know, that kind of deal. You guys are like the first legit real guests to come by. Yeah. So introduce yourselves. I mean, I got...
From right to left, we got...
Andrew Aguilar.
From Primera Taza, and myself, DJ Foist, from Foist and Friends.
Yeah, Diego Espinosa, representing Primera Taza, Foist and Friends, and myself.
Oh, shit, man. The whole crew. Originally, I thought it was just going to be you, man. And then a random friend that I was like, I mean, what friend, you know? Like, all right, cool, yeah, man. Bring him along. But yeah, he's got, you know, Foist has some friends.
I brought all two of my friends.
Dude, that's all you really need in life, man. Yeah, man. All you need is two good friends, and you could take over the world kind
of
deal.
One of them's his OG friend. His brother.
Brother, so it kind of doesn't count.
Yeah.
But, dude, my brother's my best friend too, man. He's a great guy. You know, when you get older, you're like, that's...
Yeah, things change.
They're great people. Yeah. Yeah, no, Angel looks traumatized. He's like, fuck that guy. Stealing my blankets when we're babies.
Not letting me use the PlayStation.
Oh, shit. Damn, so...
I'm just playing the long game of revenge, you know.
Slow game.
He's the silent killer over here.
Like your farts.
Oh, dude, I'm feeling that. If I clear this room, I am sorry, man. I ate a shitload of panela. So it's
light a match.
Man, we're gonna have to bring a flamethrower in here. Foist, man, I wanted to have you on for a while. We finally figured out the time.
Yeah,
the time is now.
I was too shy. That's why I had to bring friends too.
But that's your thing. For those that don't know, DJ Foist has a thing on Friday. A thing. That's so rude to call it a thing. But it's what do you call it? A residency at Indy?
You can say it's biweekly. Biweekly residency.
Biweekly show.
Indy Brewery.
At Indy Brewery. Indy Brewing.
Shout out Indy Brewery.
You bring the party. You bring the party in a bunch of crates. Pretty much, that's what you do.
Yeah. Now we got crates thanks to Diego.
Yeah, man. Yeah, last time I saw you there, you were setting it all up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Getting ready.
I remember that. Yeah, it was a good night.
You guys look fucking uncomfortable. Shit.
No.
Are you guys high?
No, I'm just like day one on a cold. So
cold, sore throat.
Sore throat. I just...
That shit's going around.
I feel tired. So you might want to wipe this mic down. Just, you know, for future reference, this microphone number 3.
If you knew what happened to that mic before that, you'd be like, you should have wiped it down before.
Dang. Yeah, so I guess I'm the newest addition to this crew. And yeah, these guys have been great. They've welcomed me with open arms, and I want to shout out Angel real quick, because he's the one who kind of got this whole show on the road and linked me up with Foist.
Yeah. What were you doing before, man?
Before I was working in like the nonprofit world. I should say slaving away, but
not making any money.
Not making any money, but doing something that I absolutely love, which is promoting the arts. I'm a big contemporary art buff, and
contemporary
so,
art?
Yeah, any kind of art, modern, contemporary. I love art history, all kinds of nerdy shit, but
I feel you, man. I'm a Rococo fan, and nobody could ever figure that one out. Like, why are you a Rococo fan?
You mean the period of,
yeah, fuck
art history?
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I love Rococo. I love Baroque, you know, like that kind of shit. Huh?
Yeah, man.
Man, in Pasadena at the Norton Stein Museum of Art, if you pretend to be a student, you get in for free. If you got like your old ass ID, even if it says like 2006, and you have a lot more hair than this,
it's all falling apart.
Yeah, it's all laminated. It says Garfield High School or some shit dumb. Yeah, but if you go in there, it's free. And then they got there's a painting called the Triumph of Virtue and Nobility Over Ignorance.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's sick as fuck. It's giant, you know, and the colors, like, that's what makes that style. Like, you'll get kind of like what cholos get painted on their fucking arms.
Yeah.
Kind of like that old school Catholic Church kind of.
Gothic.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah. See, art history major.
Yeah, here. Real dark. Yeah, man. So
yeah, like that, but with bright colors, and you're like, oh, that pops, bro. Yeah.
So yeah, I absolutely love hanging around museums, art galleries, all that kind of stuff. So I recently took a turn, and you know, career change brought me to Boyle Heights, and Angel was like, yo, you're the one. You're the one, man. So yeah, we kickstarted this whole thing, and now we're starting a collective at Primera Taza. So shout out to Chewy and Angel for all the hard work they've been putting in. So now we're here, dude. This is end of 2017.
Can somebody explain to me what the collective thing means? Angel, there we go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so the new collective that we launched after being a regular LLC for 9 years is just changing course, a little more progressive, turn into a worker-owned company. So those who work it will actually have ownership. People obviously have buy-ins too. They want bigger shares. You know, we're getting lawyers to create the bylaws to make sure all the legal stuff's worked out and everything's fair game. But yeah, man, I mean, it's been a long road. It's always something that Chewy talked about with me, and one of the main reasons, you know, I put in so much of my energy into the whole cafe was for the launch of this, and obviously keeping it hush-hush for various reasons, you know, trying to see who comes up and really shows their true colors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Diego just came in and loved coffee, and He was looking for something part-time. Meanwhile, he was trying to figure out to go back to school situation. And I was like, hey, dude, I like your energy. Yeah. You know, come through. And then he was talking about, like, DJing the first week. And I think the second week that he was working at Primera Taza, like, he was, like, at Voice and Friends DJing this first gig. It's, like, random as fuck. And then the energy just kept going, man.
Come January, he's going to be like, hey, man, so can I get on your taxes or what?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I got all this shit I need to write off.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, hey, man, you went from friends towards family, bro. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. A lot of places are doing that. I know Modern Times, it became like a employee-owned company.
Oh, nice.
You know, so yeah, the brewery? Yeah, the brewery. So all the employees.
Fat Tire has been employee-owned for a long time.
Yeah, man.
Ben & Jerry's.
Fucking Ben &
Jerry's. So we've seen some successful, you know, companies that are employee-owned and really thrive, you know?
Yeah.
Now it makes a lot of sense, man. You came at a great time, and it's a great group of people.
Yeah, man. I think.
What?
I don't know. I was gonna say. I think that's been kind of all in our heads, like just the timing of this. It's real. It's synchronizing.
Synchronicity.
Yeah, man. Oh, for sure.
So how did you feel, man? Like the first day, he's like, "Oh shit, I guess I spin, dog." And you're like, "Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I've heard that before."
You shouted Angel out earlier, but I think it was mostly just you taking the initiative, Diego, and like reaching out to me, and you know, the vibes were right, so I was like, let's check it out, and found out you're a digger, so to speak.
Oh,
and yeah, he's teaching me a lot, man. Like,
it's not a racial slur, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, it's a beautiful thing. The timing, just it worked out. It's working out.
That's great, man. That's great. So, okay, how did it start with doing these Friday night music fucking showcases, and how did it build to what it is today? Because that's an important thing. Because I went to one of the earlier ones, and it's totally different than what it is today.
Yeah. Well, originally, it was just me. It was my residency or whatever. And the first time I DJed by myself for 4 hours or whatever, and it was cool. But I was like, you know what? Like, it's just things are, you know, the more the merrier, like they say. And
was it just DJ Foist?
Yeah, well, it was, I think I called it Foist Fridays or something.
Okay.
Something that's try to make a catchy name or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I got him on board. I'm like, let's have you, Angel, let's have you play a set. And then, you know, just to bring different flavors to the thing. Yeah. And I used to have a residency years back at a little dive bar in East LA, Cork Room. I don't know if you heard of it.
Oh, where was that at?
Oh, it's a dive bar, dude. But, you know, good peeps that work there, right there off of Olympic.
And, oh, it's still around?
Yeah, it's still around.
Cork Room?
Kind of a hole in the wall.
Olympic and what else?
I think it's like Southside Drive or something. It's in the cut, dude. It's in the hood.
I'm curious because now
it's
I'm like, where?
It's a small dive bar, and I was there, and that was, you know, a year or so it lasted. And then Angel was the one that actually plugged me up with Indie Brewery, and you know, I met the owners and talked to them, and they gave me the chance, and they liked what I did the first time, and then I told them, hey, what if I bring bands and bring other DJs and just different entertainment? Yeah. I even want to do in the future like a comedy night there.
Yeah, they had those before.
They've had it, yeah.
Yeah.
But
you have that smaller room that you could probably close off, that seems like the best place to do it.
Yeah, I'm still thinking of what we can do in there because I bought a wireless kit too. I don't know if you were there when I used them one time.
Uh-huh. And wireless kit?
A wireless kit for like to make speakers wireless, basically.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
like okay. We'll have the setup by the back, and then we'll have speakers by the entrance, which uh-huh. like instead of running cables,
right,
you just plug in the wireless kit and you have like surround sound or whatever.
That's a smart way to
so yeah that. And then just the more the merrier, man. I figured the more people can get involved, the more, you know, it's a team effort, you know. Yeah. they bring their peeps, bring their vibe, and yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Like I'm happy of where it's at, and we're only gonna go bigger from here, you know. Like,
damn, man. I feel like I'm waiting for you know, that was 2017, but 2018 we got bigger plans.
Bigger and better things.
You guys are already on that trajectory. It's kind of why I wanted to ask, like, how, you know, and where you guys are now. You guys have digging in the crate section, you know, where you could go and buy albums.
Like, yeah,
that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, just I took a little bit of notes or whatever from Barrio de Artes.
Uh-huh.
And with Angel and Nazarelli. Shout out Nazarelli. She puts a lot of work in with the flyers and doesn't get enough credit. But yeah, like just turn it into like a little, like I guess pop up or whatever. Just like just vibes and just music and anything to do with music and community and
mm-hmm.
and just good times. Like
that's
what we're trying to do. And beer, of course. Yeah, obviously, yeah. That's a given, you know.
Yeah,
really good beer there. And
the tunes keep getting better as the beer keeps flowing and just everything. Because
yeah.
Everybody starts feeling happier. You're exactly. Like, yeah, I'll buy 10 of those albums, you know?
Yeah, man.
You're laughing because you're like, yeah, somebody bought fucking Little Richie or something dumb. And they loved it. Man, the Little Richie album gets better as you keep getting drinks. I don't know. Dang, okay.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, man. So where do you think it's going to go from here? I know you guys said you guys modeled it after Barrio de Artes.
Well, we didn't really model it, but we took a little bit of the stuff they do with all the vendors that they bring. So that's why I wanted to incorporate the vinyl sale. And where I want to take it is just around the world, turn it into... We're going to probably... I don't know. We're giving away too much info, but...
Oh, shit.
We're probably going to maybe think just for branding purposes and we might change the name. And then take it international, dude. Like, take the party to other clubs and bars around LA and around the country and around the world, hopefully, you know? Like, just to be able to, you know, bring that LA flavor to other places. And we're having a good time, but we're working. It's all, like, the master plan. Like, I've been uh-huh. this last year, 2 years, just trying to figure out on like, how to capitalize and make... Not capitalize, but just... sustain the life I have while doing things I love. You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
not having to work for the man forever. Like oh, man. I'm not with that whole 9 to 5, even though I still, you know, have a little part-time, but it's that's not the goal. Like I don't want to retire when I'm 64, work for some company that doesn't care about me yeah. all my life. You know, like the it's changing, you know, and I see it all around with, you know, with the collective and with everything, mm-hmm. with people mm-hmm. being entrepreneurs, and it's just, that's the goal, and little by little, we're getting there, I feel.
Yeah, man, you're definitely surrounding yourself by a bunch of people that kind of think the same thing. Yeah, they're all like, I could either keep working at the post office, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Or try to pursue something that you love, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems like music's your thing, and...
Just one of them, yeah. Music's one. Just my goal is try to get out of the rat race, dude. Like,
yeah,
like I said, just it's not for me, and it's not for many people.
It's not for anybody, man.
Yeah,
maybe some people love it. Like, I wish I could
just, you know, go to night. Dude, that, bro, that's super fucking annoying, bro.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. I'm sure there's a listener going like, what the fuck is that? That's all good. We're just flipping.
Oh, you could hear that.
You
oh,
could totally hear
my
that.
Bad.
That mic, I think that mic was the best mic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is
it? I'm still trying to figure out this whole setup here.
Yeah, because it's catching like really ambient.
Yeah, noise. Well, it's good since you're a little sick, man. You don't have to talk as loud for that one.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I guess if you fart, people are going to know it. Even those silent killer ones, Angel.
That was a total joke, by the way. He doesn't have killer farts.
Killer farts. We all do sometimes. No, yeah,
depends on what you eat.
Shakies.
So before this, you guys were traveling fucking everywhere.
Today, yeah, dude.
Today was a motherfucker to get you.
Yeah, man.
Sorry for the whole
day. Today was kind of crazy.
You guys had to stop by Amoeba to get what?
A couple records.
What'd you guys pick up, man?
So I guess I'll show you what's in my bag.
Yeah, yeah.
To steal Amoeba's content. Yeah, so originally I was going to pick up two records today, but I couldn't afford it.
Because
records are really expensive.
Oh, that's fucking right. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Unless you're buying used records or like, you know, you're digging in the dollar bin, getting like really dusty fingers. Uh-huh. Chances are if you're buying a brand new studio album, you're going to pay up to like $20, $30,
$40.
Yeah, so the way I see it is if it isn't, you know, a staple piece of music or something that is like absolutely inspiring to me, then I'm not gonna buy it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
And I mean, it's really changed the way I buy music. So this is it's a record called The Invisible Man, and it just dropped. I want to say like 2 weeks ago. It's an orchestral tribute to Dr. Dre.
What?
And this was arranged by Sly Fifth Avenue. And he's a producer extraordinaire from Brooklyn, New York. And it's an absolutely beautiful masterpiece. I would call it a masterpiece. It's just beautiful.
Fucking hell.
It's headphone music. It's jam in the car music. It's, you know, it's stuff that you can just put on and just like, you know, really like just trip out and really, you know, dive into Dr. Dre in a really different way. So...
Yeah. Are we going to hear this on Friday? Are you bringing this out on Friday?
Yeah, so that's why we had to go today.
For that much money, though, is it going to stay in the cellophane?
yeah, it's got to. Uh-oh. Well, I mean, it's going to... I mean, I got to crack it open. Him? Yeah. But yeah, this is definitely going to be in Friday's set.
Oh.
So shout out to Sly Fifth Avenue, True Thoughts Records, Dr. Dre.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
And me voice, for the ride.
Voice, what'd you pick up? voice, what'd you pick up? Yeah,
Chevron for the gas.
And DJ Voice for the great just driving.
A couple little things. I already have this album actually on digital, but I really dig it. And I wanted to, thanks to Diego, I recently got a vinyl, a turntable.
Nice.
I don't know if many people know, besides people that's seen me like DJ before, but I DJ on a digital controller. It's a Traktor S4. It's just, when I started DJing, I actually got into it with like four friends. We all put in money and we got PAs and a technique we found. We came up on for like $80. And
a technique for $80?
$80, yeah. My friend found it at a barbershop and the guy was selling it. All we had to do was like tune it up. It was like total $200, $120 to tune it up and then the $80 to
purchase. But still, that's a great deal. For people that don't know, a technique is a turntable that's like, what, $800 or more?
You could probably get like, you find one for like $400 maybe.
Really?
If you search... A pair is like six to 800.
I think. That's what I thought.
Maybe I'm sure maybe prices. In their peak they probably were like $1,000 a pair.
Oh, a pair like brand new, you're probably looking at like $1,200.
Oh shit,
see, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought they were expensive, and they stopped making them, right? Like that's a thing.
Yeah, they stopped making them. They discontinued the model, and then recently started manufacturing like a really beautiful, like flagship model of it. So now you can get it. It's just ridiculously expensive. Mm. Yeah, they're beautiful. I mean, these machines will last for, you know, generations and generations, which is why they're still so sought after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because DJ Premier spins on that shit, you know what I'm
saying?
Frickin'. That's it.
Yeah, I'm a digger now officially, I guess.
Oh.
I don't consider myself a digger, but just a collector. I can't call myself a digger yet. He's earned his stripes or whatever.
Nah, I'm fucking around.
but this one's one of them. Washed Out, the newest album, Mr. Mello. And then I haven't even heard this one, but I was like, Mick Jenkins is really dope. I heard his the Waters EP. I don't know if you heard it. To be honest, I don't even know where this cat's from. I think he's out from the East Coast, but it's really good ass hip hop. And these are just the two ones I caught today.
Holy shit!
Building my crates.
Hey, Washed Out did the Portlandia song, right?
Did he?
Love Me Some Portlandia.
Isn't that the
shit's so ridiculous?
The band that did the theme song?
No, I think it's. I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm confusing with the Californication.
Pretty sure.
We could Google it, but
yeah,
there's some rules for this podcast. You can't Google shit. You have to just take your best guess and let other people get mad.
Like an idiot, be like,
This
ain't no Joe Rogan experience.
No,
we don't have somebody on the side freaking Googling Jamie. Shit for us.
Pull it up.
That was his name, man.
Hey, damn. Jamie, can you pull this up real quick?
Exactly. Yeah, man, I listen to his stuff. You know, there's another podcast I started listening to. Which it was called Dirty John. And it's six episodes, and it was a story from the LA Times about some chick. I shouldn't say chick. That's rude. It's about some lady. It's about some lady who starts dating this guy, and he says he's a doctor, but then it turns out he isn't a doctor.
Oh.
And then there was a murder at the end. Dun dun dun. But you have to it's like six episodes, and each one of them fucking leaves you hanging, dude. I was like, oh, I'm gonna download one and then see where that went. Fucking heard them all in a day.
Damn.
Like one whole day, I killed them all. They're like an hour long.
What's it called again?
Dirty John.
Dirty John.
But it's this dude that fucking pretends to be a doctor, and then she's like, oh, like I don't know where he goes all day, but he shows up in scrubs. And her daughters are like, that's weird. Like, I worked with doctors. They don't show up with fucking scrubs, you know, at home. And then he doesn't have any money. And then she's like, she's paying for a lot of shit. They end up living like at Balboa Island, you know, in that Newport Beach area, that fucking island where it's like rent was like $6,500 a month.
Whoa.
And they got a house there. And then he starts like alienating her from her family. He's like, oh, your daughters just want money from you. Because this lady was like loaded. She was like an interior designer for a bunch of rich people.
Oh, okay.
And she was getting mad money. But then
a podcast?
It's a podcast, man. It's just like a dude telling the story. It was an LA Times story. Wow. It's like six different parts, and you're just like, holy shit. Like, and they just go deeper and deeper into the story until the end. You're like, oh shit. It's good. It's good. Like that one I recommend. You know, if anybody wants to blow like 6 hours of their day.
Yeah, I would listen to a lot of Joe Rogan. I don't know if you ever heard of this podcast called How Stuff Works.
Yeah.
You want to learn some things here and there.
Yeah.
I used to listen to that a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, even watching the show, man, like how it's made is cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
dude, you're like, how are pencils made? You're like, seriously, how the fuck are pencils made?
Like, we take this big, giant sequoia tree.
Turns out.
100 pencils.
Yeah. Destroying how do you get nature. The lead, though? How do you get the lead inside? That was always my thing.
Never thought of that one.
How it's made. Tune in next week.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah, man.
I was always curious about how podcasts were made.
This is it. All it is one dude. You know, this is way more complicated than how most of them were. All like most of the podcasts that I ever made up until like right now.
Yeah.
We're just two microphones and us chilling in the back of Primera Taza.
Nice.
In the fucking sun, when the sun would go like past here, we'd be like, oh, fuck, man, time to go home or some shit.
Yeah.
But it's basically this. I've always told people, if you guys want to record a podcast, I got the website, which is like the hardest thing to do. And then figuring out how to get your stuff on iTunes. Like that next step always gets people a little bit. You know, some people do it on SoundCloud, whatever. I mean,
but there's like licensing issues or whatever, right? With music, you can't have.
Yeah, no. I've had on the last one. I uploaded it with Army of the Pharaohs and shit.
Okay,
and it goes through.
I think the only time I have issues is putting stuff on Instagram and on YouTube. Mm-hmm. For sure, YouTube checks sure. that.
Who's shit. Army of the Pharaoh? Is that Jedi Mind Tricks?
Jedi Mind Tricks. Oh, it's a couple dudes from Jedi Mind, mm-hmm. and then like a couple other dudes like Apathy and Self-Titled. Fucking gangster shit. You know, I want to play it right now, but unfortunately, I think only we would listen to it. Like, it doesn't get recorded on this. I'm trying to figure out some more stuff when it comes to live playing shit. Like, you guys are here. I mean, you've seen more of the Inception, you know, like just the little laptop and hanging out in the back over there. But now it's going to be like more of a little bit of a setup.
Technical.
Yeah. Play some music, you know. Maybe have, you know, throw some stuff on the TV. It's
progressing. I like it.
Yeah. And then also with the camera. Like, I want to have the camera facing that way so we could all get drunk and shit.
On camera.
It'd be hilarious. Like, the one that I did with Chewie and then that dude, David Cruz.
Okay.
I mean, it was the funnest fucking podcast ever, man. We got smashed on Mezcal. At the end, we're just yelling at each other, dude. That was it. It was a good time.
That'll mess me up.
Mezcal. Sounds like Chewie's drink.
Yeah, definitely. He's a fan of that. Aside from beer, do you guys drink?
Oh yeah. Anything? I love rum, tequila.
Oh shit.
My favorite rum right now is the Guatemalan rum called
Zacapa. Yeah.
Yeah. The Ron Zacapa is just absolutely
Ron Zacapa is like, you know, Central American rums, you go Zacapa and you go you go Flor de Caña, you know, from Nicaragua.
Which one's the big one from Costa Rica, I think?
Costa Rica.
I think it's a red label.
Centenario?
It's under the sea, I believe. I got it last year for my birthday, and I haven't opened it.
Oh, shit.
Probably open it this year.
Huh. Yeah, dude, I'd love Flor de Caña. I mean, my parents are, well, my mom's Nicaragüense, so.
No way.
So, yeah, we grew up drinking that. I want to say, when I turned 21, we cracked open a 12-year-old bottle. And then for the first time I had the Zacapa like 2 or 3 years ago, I was just like,
ready to throw in your Nicaragua card,
dude. I was like, I'm done, bro. I am Guatemalan now. Like, this rum is just like, I mean, I don't say that around my mom and her family, but dude, that rum is on another level.
Yeah.
For 40 bucks a bottle.
I had some here, but I think they drank it all.
Yeah, man.
I have
great.
Some bourbon up there and some tequila in that barrel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's our little experiment. We threw in some San Matias Blanco, and now if you pour it out, it's like a little more reposado, like it's a little bit darker.
Oh, so I'm going to
leave it till next Christmas so we could have it fucking extra añejo, like super, super honey-ish.
Wow.
That's the plan. But, I mean, who knows, man? Like, had uncles come over, and they're fucking tasting it, so it's like, shit. It's going to, little by little, right towards the end, it's going to be like, just a shot.
You have a shot for next year. Fuckers.
Enough for New Year's.
Yeah, man. Boy, so you drink, man?
I drink beers. I'm not really a hardcore liquor guy. I've drank tequila, but I get headaches, you know, the next day if I drink too much. And if I drink liquor, it'll be maybe like a rum or something. Mix it with some. Fucking what was my go-to for a while? Sailor Jerry.
Oh shit!
And like some cherry vanilla Coke or something.
Yeah. Fuck, that makes
sense. You can't
even
taste the liquor. You can barely. Or like one time I started for like a couple times, just mixing my own horchata with the Sailor Jerry, and like, shit's good, dude.
That's like rum a white Russian, right? Yeah, rum chata. That's right, rum chata.
Yeah, white Russian's a little more hardcore. I thought those were good, like because the Big Lebowski. He made those shits look so good.
Yeah.
And in my head, it's like, oh, it looked like horchata. So I was like, it probably tastes pretty good. And
it did not.
When the first time, let me get a white Russian. I was like, ugh. It looked cool, but it
didn't. Make your toes cringe, man.
Yeah, they definitely give you hair on your chest. Yeah.
Not a fan, man.
But I stick to beer, and I enjoy the ganja here and there. So
the ganja.
I prefer that.
Yeah, man. I was talking about this, like, fucking, I just can't smoke like before. Simple as that. Like, I'll smoke once, and that's it. I just freak out about ISIS and I go to bed or something.
It hits you harder, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also because I don't do it as much. Mm-hmm. Like back then, I'd smoke and then we go to the Chinese buffet and have a fucking blast.
Yeah.
And now it's just like I smoke and I just can't. I'm like, I gotta go to bed, dude.
Start thinking too much, huh?
Yeah,
that's how a lot of my friends are, dude. And even like the ones that were hardcore stoners when I was in high school, and I would just drink here and there on the weekends and stuff when we would party, but I wouldn't smoke because I was like, what if I get a job? I'm gonna get drug tested and blah blah blah, and just conditioned my whole life like, drugs are bad and this and that. And then now that I smoke and you know, medicate or whatever, my friends that were into it back then, they're like, nah, man, I get paranoid. And
damn,
I'm like, what? That's weird.
That's what happens when you give it up. If you give it up, it's going to go down that road. It's weird. Wow. It's weird. If you stay consistent, I think you're all right. You know,
I'm about consistency.
You know what's funny though is that I think it was who was I reading? I think it was something by Timothy Leary. That guy, he recommends that people only take it in large amounts and to do it sporadically. Like,
who was that? No, that wasn't Timothy Leary.
Who was it?
That was
the other dude.
Why was I thinking Graham Hancock? Because that was part of a Joe Rogan podcast.
Was it Graham Hancock?
Nah, it was the dude that talks about the God dose when it comes to mushrooms.
Well, they said whoever it was one of those like, you know, hippie socially making music over here. Yeah, they were like recommending that, like, you know, not to be a habitual user because you actually you lose the effects of the cannabis. I guess it's full potential benefits on your endocannabinoid system. Whereas if you were to do it more sporadically and at, you know, higher amounts, I guess that's the proper way to do it. But don't tell me how to smoke.
Yeah, but then you
don't
end
tell
up
me
like,
how to get high.
Then you end up calling like an ambulance, you know, because you're too high.
Yeah,
like those idiots. You ever seen that video? That couple, they're like, "We had some brownies or something.
We think we're dead.
We're dead."
Wasn't that a husband and wife?
Yeah,
that one of them was a cop, though. Is that what it was?
I don't know. Was he?
I swear, one of them was a cop, and then like I think he stole it. He stole it from work. He got it off of somebody.
They raided a shop and then took other stuff.
And he took some stuff. And this was like super high. And they're like, that's it. Like, I think we're having heart attacks and all that shit. It's like you could do about it too. You just go to the hospital and they call the cops. Like, you don't want to call the cops, man. It's the last thing
just
you want to
do. Sleep it off. Eat it and sleep it off.
Coffee, cold shower, all that
I heard
shit.
Milk.
Works.
I heard milk works.
If you eat it, right? If you eat like a pop brownie or something like that, milk.
That's what I heard.
Just got to give in, man.
I don't usually
just go for the ride.
Just ride it out. Right? That's what I say.
Just let go. Let the world cave in on itself, man. Those are the best experiences.
Hold on.
Yeah, right?
Don't do anything dumb. Like, hide all the razors. Don't shave. You know?
Like, jump off a freaking balcony.
Yeah. Man, I can fly.
I always laughed at those news stories that they always characterize like psychedelics as like being like this crazy experience for everyone. I mean, it is, but it's funny because always that news story that you see recycled is like this headline of like teenage boy jumps off of balcony in his apartment after taking LSD, and it's like, really? Like, is that it? Like, that's as creative as you can get? I mean, I've had some really scary moments on acid, and it wasn't about, like, jumping off a freaking balcony, you know? Like, it was a lot more cerebral than that.
Damn. I want to do acid, man.
I don't know.
Yeah, I want to do them, and then I'll be like, you know, I'm okay. I'm just going to go to Whole Foods and fucking try to eat better instead.
Your chonies and stuff. Like.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard enough. Yeah, I can't do that, man. I'm going to start there. Yeah. God, man. Start with Whole Foods. I'm going to start with Whole Foods and try to eat a little bit better. How's that? Acid. Yeah, why am I going to jump into acid and try to see the singularity?
The cosmos.
Whole Foods is a gateway drug, huh? To acid.
It really is. It's a gateway drug to broke.
Yeah. First kombucha, then acid.
Man. I love kombucha, man. I love me some fucking kombucha.
Kombucha on tap.
Damn. There's
in TJ, there's a one called Carla's Kombucha, and you could get it at most bars. And you're like, son of a bitch, she's out here.
Damn, she out this, there.
She's out there slinging that kombucha.
She on tap.
She on tap.
Damn.
Booch. Booch, booch, booch. It's like 7% or something like that. What? Here, you could get one that's called Boochcraft. You get smashed off Boochcraft.
Yeah. Yeah, but I had it and it was disgusting.
See? Yeah, they have weird
flavors. And I love kombucha. Like, I'll drink every single kombucha. I've never turned down the kombucha. And kombucha beer, I literally drink half of it, threw it away.
Damn.
That one's interesting.
I could see that, though.
Well, they have different flavors. You have one that's like watermelon mint. You have one that's... my favorite was the ginger turmeric. That was nice. That was good. It was spicy, so it was...
Probably help you right now with your little flu.
Can we just get like a mango ñada... kombucha.
That's Carlos kombucha right there.
A diablito kombucha. Yeah.
Fucking
chamoy kombucha or something like.
What is chamoy, man? Is there a goddamn fucking tree in the jungle of like Sinaloa where they get this fucking chamoy shit? What is it? Is it like syrup?
You're
is
asking it, the wrong person.
Is it candy? I thought it was candy.
I thought it was candy too. Isn't it like a pulp? Pulp candy? Pulp?
Like a pelo rico.
Yeah, but where does it come from?
Where does chamoy so come red? From? I don't know.
Everybody's have worried about cancer, somewhere. But nobody's stopping by fucking chamoy and saying, like, don't put any fucking chamoy on your shit, dumb.
Stop eating Flaming Hot.
Stop eating. No one wants to stop that.
Hey.
Everybody wants to criticize fast food, but I know where that shit kind of came from.
Y'all remember Lucas?
Of course, man.
Damn, dude. What were they selling us?
Powder, right? It's salt.
Fucking salt and chile and fucking lime crystals.
Lime crystals. They're a little bit bigger. Yeah, it got a little dissolved a little bit. Fucking lime crystals.
Pre-diabetes in a little packet.
That's all it is, man. Fucking voice, man.
What did I do?
What's up, bro?
I didn't do nothing.
You know, I work on getting this space more 420 friendly.
Oh, no.
For everybody.
Don't blast like that.
I'm just kidding, man. Dude, I've said some awful shit on this, so it's all good. If anybody's losing something, it's going to be me mainly. I think on the last one, I was talking about how gentrification really means like it's just white people moving into your neighborhood. But that's not really that bad of a thing. That it's really worse if Asians move in.
Oh.
And I was saying because...
Which ones?
No, I was saying all Asians, man, because all Asian people always have like 30 friends. And
there
all
goes the parking.
Nah, just... it'll make you feel bad because like you hang out with family and you got like two friends. But they have like 30 fucking friends and they all go out and eat and they're always at the movies and they tag each other on Instagram.
So it's the friend envy.
It's friend envy. They're just going to make you feel bad about your life. Dude, be like, shit, I only got 3 good fucking friends and they're rolling deep to like all you can eat sushi and they're fucking taking multiple selfie pictures. Man, I don't know. I just wish I had that many Asian friends. Like that many friends is just a regular Asian.
That's a lot of work.
I can see that. Trying to.
It is. It is a lot of work.
Keep up all those relationships.
Do it, man. They figure that shit out. They go. I know one person that went to like, it had to be like 6 different weddings. You know.
Whoa.
Yeah, and like in not that much of a time. Like just new dress. Bah, bah,
bah, bah, 6 weddings in 6 months.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Just all your friends are getting married, and you're just going up, bah, 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 all of them, and it's a lot of friends, man.
A lot of money.
That's all you're thinking, right? But then they put it in.
That's a lot of commitment.
Damn. Asians, bro. Stop the Asian gentrification. Save your happiness.
Stop the Asian gentrification about it.
They're being friends and everybody else. That's all it is. Damn.
Like good food, that's why. We just had some Vietnamese.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Phu Pho. Shout out to those Phus over at that Pho spot. I mean, Phu Pho.
There's got to be a fucking Mexican Vietnamese dude somewhere that's named the Fuffu.
The Fuffu.
Like the Fuffu. Where'd you guys go?
Ooh, it's called Fufa Kitchen out in Studio City. Shit. Yeah, F-E-U.
Oh, this was a real thing. Jesus Christ, my bad.
Not F-O-O. Phew. I think this is proper pronunciation. Yeah.
Studio City, okay.
Phew.
What'd you guys have? Did you guys have pho? These guys go.
What didn't we have?
We sandwiches.
We had like a nice little smorgasbord. Compliments of the staff over there. It was like a, what was it? Like Charboiled grilled Brussels sprouts.
They're flash fried Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, those were good.
With some really good vinaigrette sauce tossed all over them. Some garlic noodles, some chicken wings, some veggie egg rolls. We went all in today. And then we each got a big ass bowl of chicken pho.
Extra ginger.
Damn, we
should have
brought you some, man. My bad.
It's all good, man. It's all good. Yeah. But if we're Asian, you'd be fucking texting me with emojis like.
Oh! Hey, I knew he was going to break that out on you, dude.
No, it's all good, man. It's all good.
So true, right? Man. So true.
That's
though.
Good that you guys made it out here just at all. That's
I know, right? Because most Latinos will flake.
I mean, yeah. We were late. But at least we showed up.
We were on Latino time. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
Damn, I always know, man. I always know. I want to set like a hard schedule with people, but I understand. I'm so on time, but I'm like, you know what? I understand. It's just the way life works, man. Especially in LA, right? Like, no matter what. You guys said Studio City. I was like, oh, I don't know if this is happening until tomorrow. You know? Yeah. To get from Studio City to here, you look at it, 101, I could be there in 10 minutes if there were no cars on the road, mm-hmm. but nope.
Yeah.
It's about an hour with the rush hour traffic, with everyone that's moving out to LA trying to make it. Like, that's what I feel like is... Besides the, I don't think there's overpopulation. I just think too many people in one area, you know? And I feel like a lot of it is like that dude we saw. We saw a semi-celebrity. We don't have to name drop or anything.
Yeah, no,
we'll tell you after. We'll tell you. It's an Instagram.
It's an Instagram celebrity, aka they ain't no fucking celebrity.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's a lot of people like that are from like the East Coast and from all over the country. And they come out here trying to fucking make it. Mm-hmm. That's why. That's part of the gentrification.
Do you think so? Because that's always happened, right? That's always happened. Yeah. People always go to the big city and then they go back home.
Yeah.
LA dreams.
Yeah, but I think any big city has that, right? Like I was, when I went to Mexico.
New York and all that.
Yeah, when I went to Mexico, people were going to Cuernavaca from like little small towns, you know? Mm. And that's just the big city.
Yeah.
You know, I think we feel it more because you definitely feel the traffic. And it wasn't like that. It wasn't like this maybe 10, 15 years ago. It definitely wasn't this.
It would be like, stay off the 60, the 10, whatever freeways at from 3 to 6.
Yeah.
And then little by little, it's from 3 to 7, 3 to 8. And then now it's just don't go on the freeway.
All right, we're back.
Yeah. Before it used to be like, stay off this freeway and that freeway at this time. And now it just doesn't matter what direction you're going, what time it is. It's right. Saturday, Sunday. It's like, what the fuck, dude? Where is all this traffic?
Yeah.
I hate it, dude.
It's true because in the morning, right, you always have that morning rush. But then during the afternoon, you have like all the people that are fucking working. And then you have like the picking up the kids from school. And then you have like the people that waited after happy hour to leave. Like it never really ends.
I hate it, dude. I had a bike. I don't know if you knew this, but I had a motorcycle. For 10 years. And that's why I kind of didn't really feel it. Cause I was just, that's all I had. So I was just zooming in and out everywhere. I could get anywhere in 30 minutes, anywhere.
Hell yeah. You know,
Santa Monica, fucking the off of like Fontana and stuff. Like I'll get there in 30, 40 minutes smashing. And now it's like no more motorcycle in a car. I have to deal with it. And now I noticed it. Like it's just 24/7. It's crazy. I hate it.
But then you show up really fucking scared for your life, right? Like a motorcycle in LA. How was that?
It was pretty intense, man. But I mean, I took a safety class and I consider myself like a really good driver and very like aware. And I'm like 5 steps ahead. You know, if you see, I'm like looking at my surroundings and I think what, and that's thanks to the bike. Like I see a car and I'm like, I assume this guy's going to cut me off. I assume that car. I assume everybody's going to cut me off. And I already have like a plan B, like what lane I'm going to get into. And yeah, it's just, it's definitely exhilarating, man. I love it. I'm going to get another one, to be honest, probably next year. I'm saving up.
Not scared at all? You're just like, let's go back.
I mean, that's kind of why I got off of it. Cause the last like 6 months riding, I don't know why I would get stupid thoughts, dude. I would just be riding home from like my girlfriend's house or whatever, or ex-girlfriend, and like it would be 12 at night, dark, and going 80 miles an hour. And then just instead of thinking like, oh, this car's going to cut me off, I started thinking worst case scenarios. I'm like, fuck, what if this guy like
knocks me off my bike and I fall. And I just started, you know, my legs were getting fucking just like worse thoughts. And I'm like, yeah. I kept thinking that. And I was like, maybe I should get off the bike for a little bit because that's all I had. And yeah, but your time, you know, your time's your time. I feel like you could fucking die crossing the street, dude. You could, but obviously your chances are a lot higher on a motorcycle. Yeah, but I don't know. I just, it's something about it, dude. Like when you're on the bike, you feel so alive, dude. Like it's just, it's an awesome feeling.
That's what most people say. That ride, right?
Yeah.
It's worth it. It's like, it's fun.
I wouldn't die for it. I wouldn't say that, but not that it's worth it, but
it's worth the risk. I think it's like, oh shit. Well, you don't think about the risk also. But most people have that ride, right? Either have fallen or know somebody that falls.
Yeah. Sure. They say it's fallen. Not, if you fall, it's when. That's what they say. Damn. But my next one, I want to turn it into a track bike. Like the last one, that was my only transportation. So this one, I'm probably going to like maybe take it out on the weekends and then just for the track. Because I went to the track twice on the last bike and fuck, so dope, dude. Like I was grinding my knee on the, like sliding my knee on the turns, like the fucking that racers kind of shit. And shit. Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's fucking awesome, dude. Like I wanted to become a professional motorcycle racer, but couldn't afford it because like to get good you gotta like go out all the time and ride and to sponsor yourself is just so expensive. You go through tires and brakes and gas and
hell yeah,
100-200 bucks every weekend if you're gonna like go fuck around. It's not even racing, and then you gotta get your race license and qualify and do all that shit. But once I'm out of the rat race and I have more free time and more money to do shit like that, I'm gonna like maybe not try to turn pro, but just race for fun thing. Yeah, like it's one of my hobbies, dude. I love it.
That's fucking dope, man.
I fucking love that shit.
Yeah, and you had a motorcycle. I don't know if it was that big of a deal, like in like that you wanted to make that your thing.
That was one of my crazy dreams. Like it's not like
it's fucking A, man.
Yeah, dude. But it's fun. It's definitely safer than driving in LA, dude. For 2 years I was a messenger in LA on the motorcycle.
On a motorcycle?
From like 10 to 6 I would work.
Hell no.
Driving to San Bernardino, fucking Marina del Rey, back and forth all day long on the bike. And because it's a fucking messenger company, like and you're on a motorcycle, and they knew I was fast, like, they'll always give me the last-minute shit. It's like, oh, you got 15 minutes to get to downtown from West LA, fucking UCLA. That's where the office was.
Oh, hell.
And they'd be like, here, go file this by 4 o'clock. It's 3:40, dude. I got to walk downstairs. That's 5 minutes. And then just fucking fly, dude. But I'll get there, dude. I'll get there.
Rocket boy.
It was fun, dude.
Got your hype man over here.
Thanks for hooking.
Crotch rocket boy.
Yeah, dude, that shit's
that's
fun.
That's fucking wild, dude. That's wild.
Otra vez.
We're fucking making sounds.
Music. I'm the music man over here.
We're going to be making... I think we're going to remix it. We're going to be making a music track after this.
Getting restless over here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dump some music... A music set over? Or
yeah, right over the whole thing. Yeah, we got some, you know, right? It's fucking, this thing's going, man. Damn, dude. So here comes 2018. Are you guys going to do one right in January? Is that the plan?
Well, I mean, the schedule's every other Friday. So we got one more. We got one coming up this Friday, the 15th. And then we're doing Body of the Artist on Saturday. And then.
Yes.
The next, hope to see you there. And the last Voice and Friends of the Year will be at the 29th, I think. And then two weeks after that, that's Christmas, another one. Yeah, man. So
come dress like Santa Claus. Get yourself a 5% discount on some music.
Guys and girls, come in your skimpy as outfits.
Hey!
What up? Ho, ho, ho!
We're heating things up.
Sancho Claus is welcome.
Oh, dude. Fucking Sancho Claus.
Sancho and Sancha Claus.
Sancho and Sancha Claus.
I do not endorse any of the... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right? Hey, that's part of the sports.
Voice and Friends is family friendly.
Yeah.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, this is
not responsible for pregnancies.
Hey, dude. You take responsibility for illegitimate pregnancies.
Yeah.
God, man. I think that's done with, right? Like, now if you have a kid, people are just like, huh, all right, well, we're having a kid. Yeah. Like, that was a high school thing where you're like, oh, shit, I'm not fucking... I'm going to try
taking
to go to
Mexico.
Taking
you to Maury. Dude. Taking you to Maury. Damn. That shit used to be a thing, huh? That was like a thing in the hood. Like, if you couldn't find out who your baby daddy was...
Take all nine of those motherfuckers from
Maury. Call Maury Povich.
And he cared, you know? Like, he looked at you like you really cared. He'd be like, no. Tanika, get down here. You know, and it was always like seven. It was always like seven black guys and like one white dude.
That one white guy thrown in there.
And like, why is he there? Why is he there? Like, the baby's black as shit. Like, just get him out of there. Just get him out.
The tension.
Yeah. And it was all just about running through tension. The list, and then nobody's the fucking dad, not even the goddamn white dude. Like, towards the end, she's like, I don't know, maybe.
Well, know? I forgot about.
Yeah, oh, how did you forget? It was a busy month.
And then it goes to commercial break, and you're like, God damn.
How can it be that bad? That's crazy. That's got
to
be a joke.
It had right? to be staged, dude.
All like, of it.
Yeah.
I know there's, you know, guys and girls that like to have their fun, but fuck, 7-8 dudes, like, within the time frame of, like, possible impregnation, whatever the word is, impregnating shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, do you know anybody that likes to have that kind of fun? Or that much that kind of fun?
I don't want to put them on blast.
But you do? I mean, but you do?
Not that kind of fun, but I know people that like to have fun.
Yeah, put up their numbers like Maury numbers, though?
Damn.
Yeah. Nah, not Maury numbers.
That's not Maury numbers, huh? Every, I know, you guys are rattling, you guys are thinking, I could see that.
You're like, huh.
What about,
I think I do, so. I think I do. I knew this one girl. I knew this one dude. Yeah, man. I knew this one guy that had like 4 or 5 kids by the time we were in graduating high school. He had 4 kids, I think.
Did he have a full beard in freshman year or what?
No, man. I remember those dudes. I was like, you're all freaking barbón?
Yeah, man. I was barbón by like 8th grade.
Jesus Christ,
I was like already growing it out and people were asking me to buy cigarettes and beer and shit like 8th grade.
Did it work?
You were the plug.
Yeah, I could buy swishers and shit. Like,
what? God damn, man.
Hey, were you taking a percentage?
No, he did it for the love.
I was copying off some hits.
Oh, shit. He was doing it for the respect, for the street cred.
Yeah, I want to be in that group. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bragging rights. Put me on your MySpace top 3.
Ooh,
now I'll buy you the swisher.
Yeah, right next to Tom. Right next to Tom. Just number 2.
Those were the days.
Fuck happened to Tom?
He's in Hawaii somewhere, I think.
Right? He takes pictures or some shit. He's like a photographer.
He's just living his life, dude. He's fucking...
That fool was a front.
He got enough street cred. He don't got to worry about shit.
No, that's it. I'm sure he... Next, he's going to be like riding his motorcycle or some shit professionally. Right? If you were Tom, that'd be your life, man.
Yeah, dude. I'd be traveling the world fucking riding all the racetracks.
He sold MySpace to Justin Timberlake. Like, he must have had Justin Timberlake drunk as fuck. He's like, dude, I'll sell you MySpace.
Didn't. Yeah?
Yeah, he did.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Fucking JT. Stupid waste of money.
Yeah. I ain't watching that fucking Super Bowl.
He put on his suit and tie and he thought he could fucking run MySpace.
Oh, is he going to be on the Super Bowl?
I guess he's going to do the halftime show this year.
No way.
2018.
Oh, fucking A. I'll watch you, man.
Hey, they're I'll watch him just so, you know, he has some viewers. No, but they were saying it's controversial because Janet Jackson, when she had her wardrobe malfunction,
right.
She was blacklisted, man. She was like straight up like... blacklisted, and they didn't play her songs on the radio.
What?
She was taken out of consideration for awards and all kinds of stuff.
That's ridiculous.
So yeah, so but I mean, come on.
He's the one that pulled it, right?
Yeah, he's the one that pulled it, and he's claiming that he didn't know. That's bullshit.
Yeah, the wardrobe malfunction. That's where we got that phrase from. But I mean, how come they didn't like put like some kind of pasty over her nip? You know, like
there was a pasty on it.
There was. Oh, see, what the
fuck
was
a freaking star symbol, and what you could see the top of her like nipple.
Areola?
Yeah, I guess like not the areola, but like the nipple that was showing, but the areola wasn't.
Oh,
but I mean, come
that's
on,
weird,
dude. It's just crazy that we're living in 27 or whenever that happened, and like it's such a big fucking deal. Like other countries, they show nudity, right? Like
it's just sexual repression.
Yeah, there was
beaches.
Yeah, in the US. When I went to Ireland on TV, they were interviewing this dude. His name was Mr. Pussy. on morning TV. I don't know what the hell this story was, but I was like, what the fuck? Like, aren't kids watching this? And they're like, oh yeah,
our up kids next watching this.
New fucking toys for fucking whatever year. And then interview with Mr. Pussy, and this guy just comes out. He was a gay guy who which was kind of the joke, but okay. His name was Mr. Puss, and they're just saying it.
What was his first name, Harry?
Could you imagine?
Sandy.
Floppy.
That beach pussy.
That's not even a real name.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but that set off like that whole FCC thing, right? Where people had to give it like 7 seconds so then they could edit shit out.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, now they could say things like bitch.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like that. Things have changed a little bit.
They've been able to say bitch, I think. You like, there's loopholes. I remember watching The Simpsons back in the 90s or whatever.
I think it's after prime time. After prime time, you're able to, like, certain content is okay. But when it's prime time, like that 6 to 8 p.m. slot, you gotta
keep it clean.
Yeah, it's gotta be G rated. Which is why, like, late night talk shows, like, Colbert or Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel, they tend to be a little more edgier in their comedy because it's later, the kids are asleep, you know, so you can make jokes about the president being a pussy grabber, you know, like, but
you know what's changing all that though is the internet. Like, you could do anything you want on YouTube, really, kind of, sort of, still, or things like this, man. I mean, I usually tell people you can curse, but it goes on as you keep having a conversation. Some people curse, some people don't.
Yeah.
But I think that's super important, man. Because this whole generation really doesn't care.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that it doesn't, because I've noticed some people as I've gotten older, like from my own age, that are going more like conservative. Yeah, with the way that they feel once they have kids. And then you're like, I see what happened. I think you have like a certain worry that you have to deal with, and that just goes back to you can't really control your kids. They're going to grow up to be whatever it is they're going to grow up to be.
Yeah.
The best you could do is just raise them to not shit in their hand and throw it at the teacher, you know?
Yeah, man.
Have some respect.
Are you just raise one of your kids to be a narc and just tell on the other one all the time?
Yeah. Fucking narc, baby. Fucking narc babies,
Angel.
Bro.
Angel was the narc.
Nah, he was clearly not the narc. He was buying him that freaking backwoods over there, you know?
Getting those kids their cancer sticks.
Hell yeah, man.
Dura. Damn. Papers only.
Before do it for the gram, you did it for the MySpace.
Yeah.
You're all about that MySpace. It's still around, man.
They tried to bring it back a couple years ago. I mean, it's still there, but like...
Is it? Is my profile still there? Like, shit.
Music thing. I don't even know my login.
I'll go burn that.
They'll probably help you find it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's like some... But see, for me, like, I think my email was like at sbcglobal.net or something dumb. Or at
that's what
zero.
Happened with me.
Fuck,
I don't remember the password for that email. Mm-mm. I'm not going to make any MySpace.
We're not doing that. DJ Foist on fucking much. MySpace. Oh, yeah. For sure we're listening to this guy. Yeah. Oh, hell no, man. Do you guys have any plans to have kids anytime soon?
I'm going to just say no.
Yeah, right?
Is it ever planned?
That's my plan. That's usually what I fucking
if
say,
I
too.
Yeah, if I have kids, it'll be definitely... There'll definitely be accidents. Shout out to my future kids out there.
Hey, this will for sure be on record. I'll make sure to fucking isolate this clip on there.
I love you, kids.
I love you, you accident.
Yeah, accident one and two.
Yeah, happy accidents, you know, like Bob Ross. Happy trees.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Happy accident. It's a happy accident.
Dude, like Star Wars. Happy accident.
Fucking niños amargosos. That's right. Hey, man, it's true, man. I think most of us are accidents, and most of us are just lucky enough to just be here. Let's call it a day.
I've never asked my parents.
Don't. Don't. You don't want to know, like, when that quebradita dance went too far and, you know, the coronas were hitting.
Oh, dang.
After the rodeo, you're like, hey, what the fuck? I got that twinkle in his eye. But I don't know, man.
You really want to know, mijo? All
right. Sit down. All right.
Sit down.
It was a different era. It was the time of disco.
Was it disco? No, man. How old are you, dude?
26.
26, okay, yeah. Yeah,
my parents, they didn't have me till the 90s.
Yeah, see. Yeah,
but they met in like the late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe some Laker game or something was on. It was just like, that's it. They're being the Supersonics. Got to knock it out for good luck, you know?
Supersonics.
For me, I'm sure it was like something with like, yeah, like I said, quebraditas or some romantica or something. La música romántica.
Some Leo Dan.
Oh, dude.
Playing in the background.
Fucking A, guys. Well, that's it, man. Do you guys have anything more to say for the people listening?
Got anything? Just thanks for listening. Yeah. Come check out this Friday, Voice and Friends at Indie Brewery. Barrio de Artes at Primera Taza. We're going to have the vegan taqueria is going to be there again.
Yeah. What do they make, man, with the vegan taqueria?
So this guy makes some super delicious, like, canitas, cabeza, tripas, and, like, all different types of, you know, stages of the way he makes his meats, you know? It's really good stuff. It's just crazy stuff what he's doing.
But it's all vegan, right?
All so vegan. 100% vegan. And he brings pastries, vegan by Victoria's, which is out somewhere. I forgot where he gets it from. But it's not close by. It's pretty far out. But they do like vegan pan dulce.
Oh, shit.
Maybe? Because I know that's where they're from, no?
Might be. Yeah, he just brought some vegan donuts recently. What? Gave them out for free.
Those are bomb.
Yeah, he brought like two boxes of vegan donuts and just gave them for free at Primera Taza.
All right, I'm super curious about that.
Yeah, I love that. And then, you know, at Voice and Friends, we're just trying to get things bigger and better. We're building a backdrop where you can take photos at, take your selfies at. Because you know how that LA hype lifestyle be?
It's all about the selfies. It ain't real.
There is that. Yeah, there is that.
Trying to add more, you know, to our shows.
More to the experience.
Right. I mean, and then hopefully take it to more places and keep the party going, kind of deal, right?
Yeah, man, definitely.
Oh, fucking A, man. All right.
This is Diego Espinoza. Let's see what I got to say before signing off. Guess I'll say, don't let the fascist bastards get you down. 2018 is going to be a reckoning, yeah. It's going to be a revolution. And
wait, what does that mean? I have more questions now. We don't have to end it on that. What fascist bastards,
we're facing...
people in power, man.
Yeah, I think right now... number 45? A lot of people in our age range are kind of facing this ethical dilemma that they have with the people who are in power or who represent us. Whether it be congressman or, you know, the president or even our mayor. And
Eric Garcetti?
I mean, yeah, sure. We can say that. Yeah, Garcetti. But
he's dope, man. He fucking listens to Kanye.
He's all right. He's all right. But I think definitely 2018, just re-energize yourselves wherever you guys are listening to this and stay inspired, keep creating. And for all the sucker DJs out there, we'll see you at Voice and Friends on Friday.
That's dope, man. That's dope.
Open tables and y'all.
Fucking clown on some sucker DJs when they come in.
All the sucker DJs, just come to the DJ table. We'll show you how it's done.
Oh, shit. All right, man. And on that note, brah, brah, peace. Nice seeing y'all. Check us out soon.
Peace.
Peace.
Later.